This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jam-packed on a Monday. We've got CFP chaos. We've got the end of not one, but two legendary eras. And we've got Mike White, who might just create as many problems as he solves. It's a Monday. Let's do it. Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Well, the one place to start is that it is a delight to have my buddy Dominique Foxworth in on a Monday. You were accustomed to hearing him on this show and seeing him on Get Up, usually on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but you were nice enough to make your way up for a special Monday visit in the absence of Rex Ryan today. So I appreciate it. What did you think of the Monday energy today?
I loved it. And where is Rex? Is he coming back?
Rex is in, I believe he went to the World Cup, which... That's one of the great upsets of all time. Right now, I have two friends who are at the World Cup. One of them is Rex Ryan, and the other is Jalen Rose. You tell me which of those is the greater surprise.
It's definitely Rex. It's 100% Rex. But I'm happy he went there because I could come here, and I'm having a great time.
I'm somewhat surprised that Jalen is there, to be honest with you, as well. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, let's dive in. A million different things to get to with the football here. I said I'll just do a quick thing on the Mike White because I have many other things I want to get to with you. But as far as Mike White and the thing with the Jets yesterday, you just heard me say, on some level, he creates as many problems as he solves, which is making an assumption. And the assumption that I'm making in saying that is that ultimately the best thing that could happen to the Jets is that the guy they picked with the second pick in the draft last year still winds up being their future. That feels to me like the best case scenario, because the alternative to that, any alternative to that, is you made a mistake at number two on a quarterback. Now, if Mike White winds up being outstanding, then obviously that isn't bad news, but that doesn't feel that likely to me.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that you are getting caught up in draft position. Like, with the change, since the CBA changed in, I guess it was 2011,
yeah,
the first-round pick, you're not as tied to as you once were. And a team like the Jets that have never really had a great quarterback that they can call their own, they might have one, or at least a good one. I think what you want at this point is competent quarterback play, and I'm so shocked that I'm hearing this from you. I heard it from Brandon, another Jets fan around here. Hearing this from a lot of Jets fans, is their excitement is a bit... like tempered, where it's like last week you would have done anything for a guy that can be reasonably good. You got him now and you're worried about what decision you're going to make next season?
Well, no, but here's the only reason I say that, because you take Zach Wilson hoping that you could finally be
right.
Like I've said many times, I can't imagine what it must be like to root for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Like I just don't know what that would be like.
Yeah.
Every single week you're like, oh, what incredible thing is my guy going to do now? I just can't wait to sit back and watch it. And having a very solid game manager at quarterback, which I think is what Mike White's ceiling probably is, if he was going to be Patrick Mahomes, I can't imagine that teams would have bypassed him as much as they have. The Tom Brady's of the world come along once in a century for a reason.
Exactly. Do you realize how ridiculous you sound?
Tell me, please. I'd love to be disabused of this notion.
You're yearning for Patrick Mahomes? You're not getting him. There's one.
But I thought we took him. I mean,
you
going
didn't.
Into the draft. But Dominique, that's why he was the second pick in the draft, because he makes all these off-platform throws. He does all these things. It's Mahomesian. He was the second pick in the draft, Dominique.
I got it, but he ain't that good. And so, like, you have to have accepted that by now. He's never going to be that good.
He's never going to be.
It seems like far-fetched to me.
They should be willing to give up on that now? I'm asking. I'm not
absolutely. You should. I'm not saying that they should give up on it, but they should certainly be willing to. There's nothing tying you to this. Just because, like, this feels like the definition of the sunk cost fallacy. Like, you get yourself in trouble, keep pretending like, well, we draft him so high, he must be this good. No. Sometimes you make mistakes in the draft. I'm not saying that Zach Wilson is that mistake, but hoping that he's going to turn into something that he has not shown one glimpse that he can be is an outrageous proposition. Move on from him. Maybe you can be the Buccaneers. You can win a Super Bowl by bringing in a aging quarterback. Like, you have to find a way to win it. The Chiefs model, it's great if you could do it.
Yeah, but it's a miracle.
Yeah.
Like a miracle befell them. Yeah.
That's what happened. He was was he 15th pick?
Mahomes?
Yeah, 12th or something. He was
slightly earlier. He went ahead. He wound up going ahead of Deshaun Watson, who was going to come back this week. Okay, I'll have a lot more to say about the Jets as the show continues, but let's dive into a bunch of other stuff with you as we can here, as we've got Nick in studio, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive offers a great price and around-the-clock protection when bundling home and auto. It's one of those rare times where you could save money and get something great. Bundle today at Progressive.com. Zach Wilson's idol is Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. If it were up to you, has Rodgers taken his last snap of this season in Green Bay?
Absolutely. I mean, I
sit him down.
Yeah, I think that at this point, it has to be in conjunction with his own desires, because you know that Aaron Rodgers can be a bit fickle and emotional, and you don't want to upset him. But I do think that there is nothing else to be gained from Aaron Rodgers going out there at this point. Like, you're putting him at risk. And your future is tied to Aaron Rodgers. I understand this idea that maybe Jordan Love is going to turn into something. But if you're going to win a Super Bowl next year, it's going to be on the arm of a healthy Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't need the reps to get better. You know, like, this is not, there's nothing to be gained from this going forward.
Of course.
Yeah. Sit him down, get him healthy for next year. Any foolishness about moving on from him, I think, is absurd. He's a back-to-back MVP. He has a rib issue. He has a thumb issue. And he had a receiver deficiency issue early in the season. All those things can be addressed in the offseason. And some of them already been addressed. It feels like they found a receiver in Watson. He's balling right now. The defense is super talented, but not living up to it. Address those issues in the offseason and make another run at it. And then maybe you make another decision going forward.
You've said that to me many times, how talented you think this Packers defense is. But at some point, they just never play like it. What, they give up 300? How many yards rushing did they give up last night? And that segues me to the Eagles, who are 10-1. They have the best record in the National Football League, and they have a star young quarterback. I give you the credit. Before the season began, they were your Super Bowl pick from the NFC.
Yeah, and they still look pretty good. I think that the issues with their running game are certainly concerning, but I think we get...
When you say that, meaning their defense,
Yeah. They have no issues offensively running the ball.
Right.
That's outstanding.
They ran it for 363 last night.
Incredible. And they throw the ball well, and they put their defense in bind. It seems like a well-coached team with a very smart quarterback. They understand, because they don't want run complex, tricking people schemes. They run simple schemes, but they force you to stop one thing. And once you stop that one thing, they recognize that you are weaker in other areas. Then they attack those areas with simple concepts, and they just moving around the board, doing that the entire game, making you chase them the entire game, and they have the talent at all positions to be able to do that. On the defensive side of the ball, they're inability to stop the run is a minor concern to me. Like, it's getting blown out of proportion in my view, because they have no other weaknesses for us to point to. But yes, in a perfect world, you'd love to stop the run, you'd love to stop the pass, you'd love to stop everything. But in the way football is played these days, eliminating explosive plays is the most important thing you can do on defense. They are second best in the league at that. So yes, people are going to run the ball, and I think there's a chance that some of those things can be connected. If you are worried about big-time passes, you'll have fewer people in the box. Your defensive linemen will rush the passer on downs when they should be, like, stopping the run. But you know what happens if you are not in your gap as a defensive lineman on running play? You give up an 8-yard run. You know what happens if you miss an assignment in the secondary? You give up a 35-yard pass. And it seems like they give that up much less likely than they give up the others.
So an explosive play. Let's dive into that a minute, because you're – one of the former players that I have here regularly, who you do subscribe to the idea of a lot of the different analytics, which I know a lot of players just sort of dismiss out of hand. So an explosive play is 20 yards or more?
Yeah, 20. I think, yeah, we'll go. I think it's 20 for
is
runs.
Is that what the definition
yeah,
of it is?
Yeah, I think it's 20 for runs and maybe 25 for passes. But either way, some it's a big play.
So what you're telling us is that in the modern era of football, that eliminating those is more important for a defense than it is to the old thing we've always said, stop the run, got to stop the run first. No matter what else happens, stop the run first. You're saying eliminating the explosive plays is more important than that.
Absolutely. And when you say the word analytics, people like the hair stands up on the back of their neck and they get all defensive. But I think when the way that I put it is very simple, is like, what would you rather happen? Give up an 8-yard play, give up a 25-yard play. That's the difference. And that's what, like, most
right,
drives.
But 3 or 4 8-yard plays adds up to the
right.
same thing, and then
that's
your defense
fine, that's
gets
fine.
Worn out.
That's
and...
fine. 3 or 4 8-yard plays adds up to the same thing.
Right.
True. But at some point, if they have to do it 3 times, there could be a mistake. There could be a holding call. There could be a penalty. There could be a fumble. Like, forcing teams to do that over and over again against your players is a lot harder than giving up big chunks. And I think that the risk-reward for, like, we're going to stop the run. We're going to stop the run. Uh-oh, we got beat over the top because we're loading up the box. That's, like, I feel like the risk is much too high to be too focused on it. Like, you want to stop it. I get it. When it gets cold, when it gets windy, you're going to need to stop the run. I understand all that. But I think what's more important is you don't want somebody to break off a 25-yard run or throw a 35-yard pass.
Greeny and Nika in our studio. So let me ask one more on this, just because I find this stuff fascinating. The generation of or creation of turnovers, is that – sometimes I feel like I feel like you're saying it's kind of a fluke. Is that a fluky – like the Cowboys force a lot of turnovers last year.
Yeah.
Is that a fluky thing?
I think it's not completely fluky, but it's sometimes random. So, like, people fumble. Where the ball bounces and who grabs it, it's not something you can practice and be good at.
But, like, interceptions don't feel random to me.
No, I think sometimes those feel a little bit random also.
They
do. So tip balls, like, some of those things change the game.
Right.
Sack fumbles. Like, sometimes you get a sack and they fumble, sometimes they don't.
Right.
So, like, I think basing your plan around we're going to create a lot of turnovers, like, you can do things that make it more likely, but those things normally are riskier. So I do think that it's somewhat random, and it's a little bit based on talent and scheme. So if you play a lot of man press, you're not going to get a lot of interceptions because your corners aren't looking for the ball.
Now, the free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and help you save time and money down the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone. One more thing. I learned something about you today. My friend Dominic Foxworth, who I generally would not have expected this, but at different times today, you told me you feel bad for Zach Wilson, and you feel bad for Russell Wilson, who are the two players in the NFL right now, I think, who are just being piled upon by their own fans, at times by their own teammates.
How could you not feel bad for them? Like, I think this is the point that I was trying to make to you in the meeting this morning, why I feel bad for them, and, like, I'm not interested in piling on them, is they don't got nowhere to turn. And it's like the one thing I remember, like, when I had bad games, and, like, I played in Baltimore and Denver and Atlanta, not New York City.
Right.
But when I had a bad game, I could still go in the locker room and my guys had my back. They loved me. They had gone through bad games. They had similar things, similar experiences. They're like, that's all right. You're good. We're gonna be with you. Can you imagine having nowhere to turn in New York City where it's like even the locker room you go into, the stadium you play in, they're chanting your backup's name.
Yeah.
Your teammates are jumping on them and shaking them around and jostling them because they love them. And you walk in that locker room and everyone gets quiet. And they look at you and you're standing off on the side in your hoodie. Like, it just feels terrible. And the same thing for Russell, where it's like, it's so much hype around it. And his teammates are yelling at him. It feels so disconnected from everything. And I know people say, but it makes so much money. Like, no matter how much money you make, that doesn't change the fact that if you're unhappy in your professional life and that bleeds into your personal life, it's a tough life to live.
I understand what you're saying, but the larger point I would make in response is that if Russell Wilson is an old enough person right now that I don't know if this applies to him, but certainly for Zach Wilson, I've never been through anything like this either, but I've been in high-profile circumstances where I was getting a lot of criticism. And what I would say is if the first question you ask is not, what did I do to put myself in this position? The people who never get it are the ones who, when they're in that situation, say, well, he did that and she did that and they did that and that's not fair and I couldn't. And if you approach this from the standpoint of what did I do to put myself in this position, then you have a chance to actually make it wind up being a good thing that it happened.
Agreed. And it's a hard thing to do because when you're getting shot at from all directions and it feels like that, your immediate response is to protect yourself, not also start shooting at yourself. No, like, which is what, that's kind of what you're asking him to do is to like, yeah, you guys are right. But to your point, I think, yes, that's the only way out of this. It's a hard thing to think of. And it's not necessarily because, and I think this is what I would say to Zach, is it doesn't mean that they're right. And it doesn't mean that you're wrong, that you can blame other people, but you can't control any of them. They're not going to change. So the question isn't, what have I done to get myself in this situation, as much as it's, what can I do to get myself out of this situation?
All right, Dominique Foxworth, a man who finds himself with a day free in New York City right now. Who knows what might happen?
Day free? They work the hell out of us, Greeny. I got to record a bunch more stuff.
Perhaps not a day free in New York City, one way or the other. Thank you for doing this, my man.
I appreciate it greatly.
Coming up, my thoughts on the man who now consumes my every waking thought and more as we roll on this Monday on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny's Takes.
All right, the assembled members of the hashtag crew have assembled around me. We've got Bubba and Nuno in Bristol, and Hembo is here with me in New York as I give you my top five takeaways from yesterday, the Sunday in the NFL.
Number five.
Trevor Lawrence had the best day of his career, and for the first time as a pro, showed you why everyone is so excited about him. And it was a good reminder to me that at some point, I need to pump the brakes on evaluation. And I know that part of that is, you know, we're sitting here having the Zach Wilson conversation. But look at the top two quarterbacks in that draft class. And they are Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. I know Fields didn't go second, but he should have and was always the second-rated prospect. They both came into ridiculously bad situations. Ridiculously bad. Trevor Lawrence was coached by, what might genuinely have been the worst single-season coaching job in the history of the NFL in Urban Meyer. Justin Fields came into a situation where the coach, everyone knew he was a lame duck. It was just horribly handled from upstairs. And then you go into year two, and they don't immediately set the world on fire. And here I am. Oh, is Justin Fields going to wind up being a bust? Did they ruin him? Oh, is Trevor Lawrence not as good? Stand by. Here comes Justin Fields. And now yesterday felt like the beginning of something for Trevor Lawrence. At the risk of overreacting, and I'm not suggesting he's going to look like that every single week, but that, Hembo, was a, if you watch that game, that was a special performance from Trevor Lawrence. You saw the stuff that everyone is so excited about.
You sure did, and it could be the kind of performance that turns their season around. Yes, they're only 4-7. They have the best scoring margin in their division. They still get Tennessee twice. I would not be stunned if they were alive the last few weeks of the season.
I'm kind of with you on that, and certainly they seem as though they have an arrow pointing in the right direction going beyond this year.
Number four.
Brady and Rodgers are done. I told you a few weeks ago, rule those two out at your own risk. I said count them out at your own risk. Well, it's no longer risky. Rodgers' team has been done forever. The debate now is whether he should even continue to play this season. If he has ribs, we know he has a thumb. There's nothing left to prove there. But with Brady, that stunned me yesterday. Playing a Cleveland team that was in its last game before getting Watson back and everything else, and everyone has been running the ball down their throats, and the Bucs are coming off a couple of wins and a bye week, and I thought they would steamroll them yesterday. So when you take all those things into account, the Bucs now have suffered two inexcusable losses. The Carolina game, whenever that was, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and then this one. This one, to me, shut the door. So might they still win that terrible division, Hembo? Yeah, they might, because the division is so bad that they might win it at 7-10 or 8-9 or something like that. But as far as being a legit contender in the NFC, done. Brady, Rodgers, done.
The entire year, Tampa's offense has scored 18 touchdowns the whole year. The Houston Texans are going to pick first in the draft. They're going to have that locked up here in a few weeks.
Yeah.
They've scored one fewer. That offense is awful. And the probably the biggest reason why they're this bad, I'm stunned Brady and that offense have looked this bad. I really am.
So there you have it. So that's Greeny's take number four.
Number three.
My takes from the weekend. I tweeted this stat yesterday, and I thought of you, Hembo, when I did it. So the Washington Commanders have played 12 games. They have had Carson Wentz start six of them and Taylor Heineke start six of them. So the sample sizes are not only the same, but they're both substantial enough to draw a legitimate conclusion. It's not like they've each started two games. Their record in the six games that Carson Wentz started was 2-4. Their record in the six games that Taylor Heineke has started is 5-1. It is ridiculous. But I will give you the credit, because you said to me when they benched, well, Wentz got hurt and they went to Heineke, you said you went out and bet some money on them to make the playoffs.
I did.
Right? The former Carson Wentz factor, and you have been 1,000% right.
That is 4-4. This is now the fourth time since Carson Wentz was in college that his team got considerably better after he got hurt. Sign the guy, he's going to get hurt. Put his backup in, and you're going to win practically every game.
Well, that's got to be over now, right? I mean, I thought Indy was his last chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. It seems impossible to me that the next time he gets to start a game, it will not be because someone else gets hurt.
You think there are 32 people walking planet Earth right now better at quarterback than Carson Wentz?
Definitely.
You do?
Absolutely. I think Jacoby Brissett is better than him. Jacoby Brissett's going to be a backup starting this week.
True.
Going into next season, who would you rather have?
Brissett, for sure.
Not even a question. Right? Yes, we could easily name 32 quarterbacks. If Taylor Heineke is better than you, then yes, there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL
you
ahead of
know
you.
No, there's going to be one genius out there that thinks that he can fix Carson Wentz.
No way. No way.
Really?
You think he's a starter week one next year?
I don't think that, but someone in the NFL will.
No. You believe he will be a starter next year?
I do.
Okay, that I'm going to bet you
okay.
on. We'll figure out some stakes for that. Greeny, and my top five takeaways from the weekend in the NFL.
Number two.
The Bengals are going to do it again. The Bengals are the team no one is paying attention to. But right now, Joe Burrow is freaking dealing. And he did it yesterday without Joe Mixon against a good Tennessee team. And he's doing it without Ja'Marr Chase. And those guys are going to be back. Chase is going to be back. And another one where you have to remember how long a football season is. Because every game is so important. Each one feels like a season unto itself. But they're not. Burrow had the appendix. He missed the preseason. He missed the training camp. He was rusty when he came in. So the first couple of weeks, you thought, I wonder if Joe Burrow really was kind of a flash in the pan. No, he was not. Joe Burrow is a superstar. He's phenomenal. And the Bengals, Neek said it on TV with us today, and I think he's right. The Bengals are better than they were a year ago, and a year ago they went to the Super Bowl. This team could wind up there again this year. Do not, under any circumstances, Put together a list of teams you could see coming out of the AFC and not include Cincinnati. That would be a ridiculous opinion to have.
Number one.
But then finally, number one, and let's lose the music on this one, because obviously Mike White. Here's the situation, because everyone is mad at me. The Jet fans are mad at me for not being more excited and enthusiastic about this. Obviously, I'm delighted with the way they played. But I know the Bears team very, very well. The Bears are a bad defense when they're healthy, and yesterday they weren't. So, like, yesterday was the perfect storm. It was the perfect setup for Mike White to have a great game. The Jets were going to be so motivated. The other guys on that offense were going to be so motivated to play big. Those receivers have been starving for someone who can just play adequately. And the Bears defense was more than ready to chip in because they're just not good. And yesterday they're not healthy. So Mike White playing a really good game yesterday is not a surprise. That was an easily predictable phenomenon. It, however, remains incredibly unlikely that Mike White is going to turn into a really good NFL quarterback. Now, could he be an average NFL quarterback? Even that, I think it's less than a 50-50 chance. Now, if he is, then we're good. Because the Jets are good enough, they have enough talent that if the rest of this season and next season, they have an average NFL quarterback, if Mike White can be the 15th best quarterback in the NFL, the Jets could make a deep playoff run. They could go to the Super Bowl. If he's as good as Sanchez was his first 2 years, this defense is that kind of good. The weapons on offense are way better than the Jets had those years with Sanchez. Way better. And next year, they're going to be even better. So if that's the answer, then great. But I remain unconvinced that that's going to be the answer. And if he's not, and we're ready to say Zach is not, then the problem is the Jets still don't have their quarterback on their roster. It's certainly not Joe Flacco. So that's the part of me that remains. That's the nagging voice in the back of my head that keeps me from celebrating what otherwise is a good situation. I mean, on paper, our quarterback was playing badly. We put in someone else. He played really, really well. That in and of itself, taking just that, that's obviously something to be happy about. But I continue to feel as though the other shoe has not dropped on this situation yet. The idea that we've just heard the last of Zach Wilson as the quarterback of the Jets feels unimaginably unlikely. Why are you looking at me like that?
Because the psychology of a sports fan is a very interesting thing. I cannot believe that you watched that game yesterday, and that is your biggest takeaway. Who cares what the future is? Enjoy the fact that your backup quarterback won a game, that you're getting representative quarterback play, and the fact that the long-term answer might not be on the roster is a good problem to have, because you can put in a backup and he can look like that. That's how good your team is. It is the definition of a good problem to have.
Nuno, should I be more excited?
I actually like the fact that you're reserved on this, because you normally tend to overreact. I think you've done that a few times this football season.
Yeah, and in every football season.
Yes, but specifically this one where the Jets are actually pretty good. I think the reason you're conflicted is because you did take this guy, Zach Wilson, number two. You had all these high hopes, as you told Dom in the first segment. And if they continue to play well and win games, you'll enjoy it. But at the end of the day, you'll still have the same issue that you came into the season, not knowing who your future quarterback is, and you're stuck. And I understand that. So I think you have to enjoy it, hope for the best, but not expect anything other than, you know, making the playoffs and maybe win, you know, and enjoying that.
Look, he's a 6'5", 27-year-old kid who was a fifth-round pick of the Cowboys in 2018. He was also a baseball player. I don't know. I mean, and the reason I'm saying all these things is because I keep having to look him up, because I don't know anything about Mike White. The future of the Jets was supposed to be Zach Wilson, and before him it was supposed to be Sam Darnold. And if it's neither of them, then I struggle to – I get it. If you're saying to me, Greeny, you just can't have nice things,
right.
I get it. I get it. Is that what you're saying to me?
Exactly what I'm saying.
Bubba, am I wrong here? Should I just be celebrating? Should I be jumping up and down for joy that the Jets have found a quarterback and that we could make a deep playoff run with him? that we're going to go into a game in January, we're going to play against Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen or Tua the way he's playing or Joe Burrow in this ridiculously hard to navigate AFC, and my quarterback is going to be Mike White, and I should feel good about that. That's how I should feel?
I mean, let's not get crazy here. I mean, the Mike White history right now is one good game followed up by immediate bad game. So let's see what he does in his next games before he make any rash decisions here. But
they have Minnesota and Buffalo so the next far, 2 weeks. Yeah. They have Minnesota and Buffalo the next 2 weeks. I don't know.
And look, by the real quick, what is Las Vegas telling you? That the Jets are only a 3-point dog going to Minnesota, at least right now, with that opening line.
The Jets are so good. They benched a 5-2 quarterback that was so bad that he almost had the yips. If Mike White can be the 20th best quarterback in the NFL from here to the end of the season, you're going to make the playoffs and probably win a playoff game. That's how good this team is. You can have nice things. Enjoy the ride. It's all about expectations, right? Right now, you bring in the backup quarterback. I told you last week he's going to be pretty good. And for as bad as the Bears' defense is, you can even adjust for that. Even if you adjust for that, it was still the best offensive game the Jets have had in the last 2 years.
Here's the only thing I'm going to say. You're right. All of you are right. But here's where I do overreact, okay? Next year, not this year. This year is found money. This year is way ahead of schedule. I want to be a Super Bowl team next year. I think the Jets have enough talent to be a legitimate Super Bowl contender in the season of 2023. And I need a really, really, really good quarterback to feel like I can do that, because the AFC has a ton of them. And if you're telling me my guy is going to be a former fifth-round pick of the Dallas Cowboys, who no one, when you Wikipedia the name Mike White, he's not even the first person who comes up.
Who is, by the way?
An actor. I don't even know who he is. The point of it is,
I think it's Mike White.
It's a good point. It's an actor named
Bad
Mike
question.
White. It's a different Mike White.
Greeny, the podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. You guys are kind of winning me over. I have been, during that last commercial break there, sort of won over to the idea that I should be more excited than I am about where my team sits at quarterback. I'll get back to that as we go. But first, Nuno did something different today. What's going on, Nuno?
Not much, Greeny.
Nuno is a unique personality.
There's just that je ne sais quoi.
He puts notes on all of the games into the Google Doc for me.
I'm definitely a savant.
And I like it. I just enjoy it.
Nuno's notes.
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. So, Nuno, normally we do this in hour number two because Nuno does all his NFL notes, and I read them in the second hour of our Monday show. This week, he actually did Nuno's notes, the college edition, and there are quite a few things that jump out to me and are worthy of note. First of all, I'm just going to read you some of his notes, and everybody feel free to jump in. He writes, Caleb Williams won the Heisman on Saturday night. He's the quarterback at USC. Do we have any disagreement about that? Is he clearly going to win this award? Yes, he's going to win the award. We're all good with that.
For sure. C.J. Stroud lost that award the moment he lost to Michigan. That's just how that award works.
And next thing he writes, Jim Harbaugh, Nuno writes, I was one, meaning him, of the many people who was wrong on Jim. If they win the title, should he move on? I have been saying for the longest time, back when Harbaugh got hired, and I said he will be the best coach in the Big Ten at the time that he hired it, because he has proven it everywhere he's gone. He is an outstanding coach. He was an outstanding coach at San Diego, and he was an outstanding coach at Stanford, and he was an outstanding coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And there were a few bumps in the road along the way at Michigan, and so many geniuses wanted him run out of town on a rail. And now, here we are, where Jim Harbaugh has proven to be exactly what I said he would be, the best coach in the Big Ten. And I have said he will not go back to the NFL until and unless he winds up getting that team to the top of the mountain. Back-to-back trips to the playoff is pretty close to that. So could I see him at some point down the road entertaining that again? I know we had that flirtation with Minnesota and all the rest of that. I never thought he'd leave without getting them back there. I think he was put off by them making him take a pay cut a couple of years ago. But one way or another, I think Jim Harbaugh has proven to everybody he is, Nuno, what I said he was, and that is an absolutely elite football coach.
Yeah, and I think he's justified everything, right? He's justified the patience. He's justified, I know, the pay cut, but like, he's just the faith that everyone's put into him and that he's gotten this right at this point in time.
He has gotten it very right. So there you have it. Michigan, regardless of what happens in their game against Purdue this weekend, which they should win easily, they're going to the playoff. Ohio State overwhelmingly likely is not. And that's when I say, or what I meant when I said, that the dumbest thing I heard all weekend long, I heard thousands of times. And that is because Ryan Day's name was trending with people calling for his job and suggesting the need to bring back Urban Meyer or try and get Mike Vrabel out of Tennessee, good luck with that, to come back and coach at Ohio State for a man who, going into this game on Saturday, was 35-1 in the Big Ten going into that game. I understand the two losses have been unsightly, and they're the two most important games to the fans. But you got to be better than that. You cannot be running a coach out of town based on that. You've seen what this could look like if you get this thing wrong. Ryan Day is not getting it wrong.
Remember last year when Jim Harbaugh, after he beat Ryan Day, said this guy got to start on third base?
Yes. You know,
essentially inherit a program that Urban Meyer gave to him on a silver platter?
Yes, that's correct.
I don't think that's fundamentally false. Now, to be clear, Ryan Day's a really, really good coach. But for the second straight year, he got blown out by a team with way fewer good players than he had. And it wasn't just like that it happened. Is how it happened. His team got outrushed 430-24 in the second half of those two games. They got smushed. And like and the way that Michigan did it is Harbaugh like painstakingly built his team to win the Big Ten. Ryan Day built his team to win the national championship. But you can't do one necessarily without the other, and that's why these fans are so incensed right now.
We do the best fan of the month here, and I don't think that the Ohio State fans are proving to be that. It's brought to you by Dr. Pepper. It ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. I always root for the Big Ten. If you listen to me, you know that. Just because I would love to see it, I would love to see Ohio State wind up getting into the playoff and winning the championship with all of these fans who want him fired. You want your coach fired? You may wind up a week from yesterday, you might wind up being one of the four teams that gets into this thing. You could win the national championship and you want your coach fired. I mean, at some point, look, I understand we live in a ridiculous world, but Jim Harbaugh would have been fired 10 times already by the time we got to that. Ryan Day just got there. He's 35-2 in the Big Ten, and you want to fire him. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then one more question that Nuno puts in here that I like. Is it too soon to wonder whether Dabo Swinney will win another championship or not? I guess it isn't. But here's what I'll say, Nuno. Dabo Swinney has achieved what he's achieved because he had great quarterbacks back-to-back, right? He had Deshaun, and then he had Lawrence, who were both unbelievable college quarterbacks. And he thought he had the next one. And that's this kid, DJ Uiagalelei, who has just turned out not to be that at all. So if he, I am not writing off Dabo at all, Nuno. I just think he's got to be right on the next quarterback that he picks because he got this one wrong. That makes sense?
It does, but my concern with Dabo is the fact that he's been very outspoken about NIL and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So getting those guys to come to your school, I just wonder.
He has engendered some bad feeling in certain quarters. I agree with that. It could wind up hurting him. We'll continue with this and more as we continue.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.